trumpet, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning. Out there, Western Oklahoma, welcome to the Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man, if you're looking at the rundown, Jared, I forgot to delete a couple of things from yesterday, so it's going to look kind of weird. But just looking on ESPN's website, a couple of different interesting things that popped up. A way too early 2023 NFL draft, and also
NFL
draft, okay. But then also to coincide with that, they've come out with their they do like next like future rankings in college football, and kind of the next 3 years of future rank. You know what will it look like?
Okay.
And so a lot of times those things kind of maybe not mirror each other completely, but you can see the correlation between the two from who's good at college football as a team, and then obviously individuals will be there too. And, of course, that leads to the NFL draft as well. So we can talk about both of those lists. Did you see yesterday the fight that is trying to be made, the boxing match that is trying to be made? It looks like will go off on July the 30th.
No. I have not.
Two former NFL running backs boxing. We'll tell you who.
Huh.
And ask why in the world you'd want to fight one of these guys ever in your life. 225-9698 is the phone of the text line. It's 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside of the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. The app has it all. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. It'll hit the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. You can pick up a free copy of the Penny News right now, and then you can almost double dip on back-to-back days in certain locations with one today and one tomorrow when the new one drops in the afternoon. You've got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV also in that app during the high school sports season, live video stream. Those games there. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. Find it on KADSAM.com. Also, iTunes. If you miss the show entirely, you can go back and check out what we had to say about a certain topic. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm good.
You know?
Wonderful morning.
Kinda.
Actually, threw on jeans.
Kinda a wonderful morning.
Oh, not for you?
Well.
You all right? Not a good start?
We got up. Here's my wife gets up at varying times, most of the time before 6 a.m. Okay. But around 6 or earlier, just a hair later. And what she does, she gets up, she makes herself a cup of coffee, and then she goes into her chair in the living room and reads the Bible, studies the Bible. Well, last night when we were about to go to sleep, she's like, why don't we get up and walk? I'm like, okay, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. I could stand a little exercise.
Sure.
And so, I was like, all right, how about 6:30, 6:40, something like that. So that's perfect. That way I can get up, I can get my Bible study done, and then we can go walk. Well, so I got up, and I don't have my contacts in when I get up like that. So she's going back to put on her tennis shoes and all that, and I'm looking outside and thinking, it's wet. What's going on here? So we go ahead, and we take off to the end of the driveway. It's raining.
Yeah.
Kind of look at each other like, well, we're not dumb enough to get caught in a rainstorm, are we? So we just turned around and went back. So I had all these great intentions of going on like a 2-mile walk this morning. And instead, for the first time in a while, it rained.
Well,
I think that was God's way of saying, Aaron, go back and get you about 10 more minutes of sleep.
Well, that's okay. I mean, if something's going to interrupt your attempt at exercise, I think rain is a good reason why.
I think it's the best reason.
It was nice getting out this morning. I opened up the door like, whoa. I just smell, you know, and the ground was still wet. I think it was even kind of still spitting little sprinkles on me.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was definitely a shower to a heavy mist to a rain.
I like it.
So I'm not griping about it. I'm just, you know, that just shows you how hard it is to exercise these days.
Sure.
I was trying, though. I was absolutely trying to get it done. Just didn't quite happen. So,
very good.
Unfortunately, unable to exercise this morning.
Well, darn. Maybe try tonight?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
are you wishing I hadn't said that?
A little bit, especially if she's listening. No, but here's the deal. You don't mind when you get home and it's like 83.
Yeah.
When you get home and it's 104, that's when you're like, I don't think
I think today might be okay.
I think so, too.
I think you're going to be fine.
Maybe even tomorrow. Yeah. Then by Thursday, it looks like it's going to start getting a little bit warmer, but not like what we saw last week. You know what today is, Jared?
It is election day.
It is election
Primary
day.
Primary election, yeah.
But you know what else it is? Oh. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Yes, of course it is.
Every Tuesday is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Paul Jones Drug, care you can trust right here in the Elk City area. 809 North Main Street is their address. Do we still call it new address? I think we're past the new address stage. Everybody knows where it's at.
How long have they been in there?
Gosh, got to be about a year, right?
Yep. Yeah, Rodney, right. you're established now. It's not new anymore.
It's just the address, 809 North Main Street. Paul Jones Drug is the most experienced compounding pharmacy in Elk City, the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City, with free local delivery. We've got drive-through pickup, curbside testing, and vaccinations, long-term care unit packaging. Those are blister packs. We'll tell you much more about Paul Jones Drug as we move along throughout the day. And also, Jared, do you know what's coming up?
4th of July,
then the golf tournament, which, by the way, still has some spots.
I'm giving you all the wrong answers today.
Still have some spots in the KECO Moran Equipment Open in the championship flight only, and that is where the big money's at. So sign up, KECOFM.com. We'll have a nice dinner. Also, the players' party on the 8th, that Friday, and then, of course, the golf tournament there on the 9th. But the week after that is probably my favorite thing we do here at the radio station, and that is the Presidio Petroleum KECO 8th Annual Kids Fishing Derby. Also, Presidio is going to have the family day in the park. Here's how this is going to work. Right here at Ackley Park in Elk City at the pond, 15 years and under, come and fish with us. It's free. Come fish. There will be some T-shirts for the first. We normally get 100 or so or whatever it is. So get there early to get you a free T-shirt. The Oklahoma Department of Wildlife will be there. The game wardens, Lieutenant Edwards, I'm sure, will be in the house. They'll have some fishing poles that they can loan out. Please take them back. I know that's always a thing at the end where, you know, it feels like a couple of those don't make it. But
I think they're putting trackers on it this year.
I think they are, too. So if you walk off with one of those, they will track you down to your house.
They'll find it, yeah.
There'll be bait while it lasts. It's 8 o'clock to noon for fishing, okay? But then you can hang around till 2 because the mini golf, the carousel, the train, all it's going to be rolling with the Presidio Family Day in the park as well. It's a lot of fun and tons of great sponsors that we'll move through as we get closer to the fishing derby because there's a bunch of them. You can win $100 if you catch a big fish. They'll be marked. And here's the deal. I know we try to keep a count of how many fish are caught on a yearly basis. But in those 4 hours, it feels like we top 400 or 500 every single time. So that's 100 fish an hour. So that's more than a fish a minute that's flying up to the scales to get weighed each and every year at the Kids Fishing Derby. So
I feel bad. This is the second year in a row I'm going to miss it.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do. And July 16th.
I really felt bad.
It's July 16th, that Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon for fishing, then to hang around to all the way till 2. With the carousel.
It's fun seeing those kids get excited catching fish.
Listen, there's some of them. There are some of those kids that are absolutely serious about fishing.
Mm-hmm. They show up with the gear and dressed to the part. They look like they're ready. Yeah, look like they're ready to compete.
I mean, last year, Roan
tournament.
Roan had a fishing tournament shirt on.
Sponsors and everything.
It did, because his uncle is the one that comes out and makes those lures.
That is true.
Yeah. He looked like a sponsored fisherman. And, oh, by the way, he won. He caught more than anybody. Oh, how about this? My 10-year-old niece giving me flack about not walking in the rain.
Oh, dear.
Excuses.
Woo. Which niece is this?
Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
But then she put love, Phoenix, so you got to go, oh, okay. It's okay, Phoenix. I mean, it was raining. Okay, so I mentioned
they make umbrellas, Aaron. It wasn't like a monsoon, was it? It wasn't blowing sideways.
But it was raining enough to where you were going to get wet. And by the way, because it's so nice outside, meaning cool, it'd have been pretty cold if it had really started raining. So we didn't want to. It's kind of out on that. All right, so I mentioned this boxing match. You have no idea about this? You don't know who this is?
Well, now look at the rundown. Now I do. But I had not heard about this.
You had not heard about this?
No.
So, apparently, Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson have decided they want to box each other.
How do you think they came to that decision?
They need money.
Well, yes, that's apparent. But, I mean, were they sitting down hanging out going, well, we're both broke, you want to fight each other?
Maybe. Isn't that how this starts? I mean, Adrian, he's got about as many kids as he scored touchdowns.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a bunch of both. But it leads me to my question about this. First off, will you watch / how much money would you be willing to pay to watch this?
Oh, not a lot. If it was free, I'd be more inclined to watch.
What about, is it because they're both older? Like, what if this was in the prime of their careers? Would you be more inclined to watch then?
Now, if it's both of them in their prime, yeah, I'd be more inclined to watch it then. Now, this seems just, like you said, kind of a sad attempt at a money grab.
I mean, Adrian's 37. I'm efforting. Le'Veon
Bell.
He's got to be, what, 30 couple?
Yeah, I don't know, but those celebrity former athlete gimmicky fights to me, they don't do it for me.
Le'Veon Bell's only 30.
Oh, boy.
So 37 versus 30. To be held on July the 30th.
They already got a date?
They are in talks.
Oh, in talks.
In talks to get this done for July the 30th.
This is a boxing match.
Boxing match. We got Will putting in $50. He said he'd pay $50 to watch.
$50, huh?
I might go halvesies with him in 25 apiece.
I might pop in unannounced.
What is this, a college keg party?
And leave my wallet cup in my other pants. Sorry.
Oh, whoops.
Sorry about that. Here's some chips.
All right, so, but it two questions. One, how much would you pay to watch it, or would you even watch it?
Well, again, it doesn't. Go ahead. What's the
number two? The guy's nickname is All Day. And his nickname is All Day because of his physical ability and stamina. I'm talking about Adrian. Mm-hmm. Where would he rank on your list of dudes on earth that you just wouldn't want to fight? I mean, I would think he would have to be, first off, when you look at him, he's just completely like an Adonis, like a physical freak of nature.
Well, for me personally, that list is long. So, but as far as the very top, I mean, Mike Tyson's up there, even at his age right now. And Peterson would be up there, because what's the thing about Peterson everyone says about Peterson? Man, I met Adrian Peterson, and I shook his hand.
Yeah, and he broke your hand.
Yeah, he always had this firm death grip of a handshake.
Yeah, so would that lead to his...
You would think that would mean he has rocks for hands.
Yeah.
You know, cinder blocks for hands.
And would not get tired.
Right.
Now, I get that you have to have some sort of skill to actually box, and that's the problem with wanting to watch this or thinking about watching this. Is it'd be some dudes that you're not really going to see a boxing match per se.
Yes. Sometimes it looks a little
more of a swinging
right.
fest.
Yeah.
We got a Blutarski for on the text line. 0.0.
Yes.
Not paying anything to watch.
No.
I don't know.
So are they going to do this? They don't any details. They're just in talks. Like where? Vegas, I'd assume. Somewhere in Vegas. Doubt the MGM, but somewhere in Vegas. And I mean, and what day did you say?
July the 30th.
That's the 8th annual luau. I'm going to be preoccupied. Or maybe I'll have it on.
Let's say if you have it's going to be in crypto.com arena in LA.
In LA. Any broadcast details? Is this a pay-per-view thing?
It looks like it'll be Peterson and Bell will meet on the undercard of Social Gloves 2, an event promoted by YouTube star Austin McBroom. Got any idea who that is?
No.
I've never heard of Austin McBroom. Anyway, McBroom takes on fellow YouTuber Anson Gibb in the main event.
Okay.
I don't know who those people are.
People will tune in to watch Bell versus Peterson and then turn it off because no one knows who those
are. Yeah, I'm afraid people probably do, though. We're just not cool enough to know. With the YouTube, I mean, I bet the kids know who we're talking about here. I just don't know. Anyway.
Everybody with a computer and a camera is a star, I guess.
I think that's where we're at here with Austin McBroom. And Anison Gibb. Anyhow, that'll be so Peterson Bell is the undercard to that other one, which is the main event. July 30th in LA. Who do you think will win?
Man, it's youth versus, I say youth, Bell's still relatively young, versus, are we calling Peterson old?
Yes, he's 37.
Okay.
He's old for an athlete. He's younger than both of us.
But I'm going to venture to say he's still in relative good shape, and he's always been a freak of nature. As far as his physical stature is, and I mentioned the handshake and the fist, I would imagine would be like cinder blocks. I lean Peterson, but I wouldn't be shocked if Bell goes a long time with him.
See, that's where I would say Adrian, just because I think he will work out for this. I'm not sold that Le'Veon Bell will be fired up to work out for it.
Show up and get his money and go.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully not take too many shots to the face for his efforts. Is there a match with these celebrities or different athletes or whatever that you would actually be interested in watching? Is there a person? Is there an athlete from a different sport that you would actually be interested in being on one of these
celebrity
pay-per-view things?
Former athlete boxing matches, maybe. I'm trying to think of anybody that has a beef with each other.
Kendrick Perkins and Draymond Green right now.
That would be kind of fun. But Green would probably do everything illegal.
If he got behind, I know where he'd kick.
Yeah, you know where he would be going for. I'm trying to pit Shaq against somebody. Who would you want to see Shaq fight? That's a good one, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But
just as, you know, the physicality of Shaq being this big guy. Who
How about Shaq and Gronk?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. But I want to see Gronk get beat up, so I don't know if that would happen against Shaq, because Gronk's still... He's
more in his playing weight right about now
exactly,
than Shaq.
Exactly. I would imagine.
I'm afraid
imagine
Shaq should have done this
quicker.
A decade ago.
Yeah, I'd imagine Gronk would be quicker.
Oh, this is a great one.
Okay.
Back in the day, I'd love to have seen Bill Laimbeer versus Robert Parrish. You almost got to see it. Parrish swung on him in the middle of a playoff game after Laimbeer clotheslined Larry Bird the game before in Detroit. That's a good one. Or like Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer against Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale.
I got a good one.
Okay.
Okay. Jose Bautista.
And Rudy Odor. That's a good one. That's a very good one. I see where you're going there.
Because one did land a punch.
Yeah. That's very true.
I'm sure Bautista would want to.
Wants a shot at him.
Try to get a punch landed on him. But, man, the legendary picture, Odor, man, he had quite a reach right there.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not sure if Bautista could reach him.
I don't think he thought he was going to get reached, that's for sure. The little guy standing there. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'll never forget being in the garage and seeing that happen live. It's up there with the win in the AL. Because I hated Bautista. Hated him.
That bat flip to win that series.
That's why it is
was.
Still. Ugh.
I mean, legendary. All right, we'll be coming back with the college football 3-year rankings on the Paul Jones Drug Tuesday here on Skinny on Sports.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock! Yeah! Ing! Yeah!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It's Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug there at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. We mentioned some of the things that they can do. The oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City, long-term care unit packaging. Also, convenience packaging. You ask, what is convenience packaging? Well, it takes away the giant plastic container that has the days on it in which you have to fill the pills that you got to take each and every day. Instead, it packages them for you. So all you do is go to the your cabinet, your drug cabinet, pull one out, rip it open, boom, take the pills, you're done. Throw the trash away. And you've got it. Convenience packaging there at Paul Jones Drug. Also, durable medical equipment, which is walkers, canes, crutches, wraps, braces, and et cetera. And most insurances are accepted at Paul Jones Drug.
All that talk just reminded me I forgot to take my heartburn medication.
Well, there
this
you
morning,
go.
So it's going to be a miserable day.
On the text line, another great suggestion for an athlete fight.
Okay.
I can't believe we missed this one. Durant versus Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well
did
done,
you
Tyrell.
See, speaking of, we brought up Perkins earlier. Did you see what he said on that podcast?
I knew there's beef between him and Draymond.
No. He pulled back the curtain on the glory days of the Thunder.
Oh, do
he
tell.
He came in. And you know there. You know what was the common thing when
soft?
Well, no. When the Thunder traded for Perkins, what was being praised about that was getting a veteran guy in the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, Presti's done that over and over. Derek Fisher, you know, he's brought in these veteran guys to kind of show these young guys this is how it's done. You know, He, on this podcast, divulged some information about the relationship between Westbrook and Durant, and there was not one.
Really?
He said, you know, when they're off days or away games, travel, you know, series of travel games, that the team, including Westbrook, would go out and eat and hang out, play cards in the hotel room, and all this stuff. And Durant would go off with his boys and everybody away from the team. And Perkins saw that, and he tried to bring it in together. He even put down a rule and said, no family is at these team dinners. It's just team. He'd bring him into group text messages and try to said it just wouldn't happen. Durant would not want to connect with Westbrook, and he didn't know if it was – they just didn't like each other, which I think we knew in the long run after everything, all the dust settled, it became clear. I'll have to send you that link to that article.
Yeah, it makes sense because even some of the things that were cool, quote-unquote, about Durant, you know, going up to Stillwater and playing in that flag football game with a bunch. But guess what? It had nothing to do with any of his teammates. It was always his entourage, his guys, his brother or whatever, you know, whoever that was. And it kind of squares with things that that you hear post him being here with guys that came in to play. You know, Enes Kanter is one of the ones that said, you know, Westbrook's the best teammate I've ever had in sports, period. and so that, you know, I think a lot of the difference between those two guys is one of them is completely comfortable in his own skin. Now, that doesn't mean you like what he, you know, that's one of the problems with him almost too. And that being Westbrook, obviously, because he's completely comfortable with who he is. He knows who he is confident in himself.
Right.
And I think that's great, but it's also the problem when you see him on the floor where, you know, I think you can argue, especially after Durant left, maybe some of the younger guys, their growth was stunted a little bit because, you know, he might give them a chance, and as soon as they couldn't do it, he'd go, okay, give me the ball, I got this. I'm confident enough in whatever, in my abilities, I can get this done. And I think that's viewed as more selfish than what he really meant it to be, just because I think he was so comfortable with who he was and what he thought he was capable of, where he felt like in his mind that was being the best teammate he could be to try to win, and unfortunately, he needed that other guy, and it wasn't, no offense, but it's not George, it wasn't Carmelo, it was always KD. And when he left, you know, the Thunder still haven't won a playoff series since Durant has left back in 2016. But on the other side, you know, Durant being the better basketball player, but I still don't think he's comfortable with who he is to this day. And, you know, that's been 6 years ago, Monday, when, you know, the Thunder's world changed forever. When he decided to go to Golden State. And I actually think going to Golden State shows you that he wasn't comfortable with who he was at all. So that's an interesting – that would be a heck of a fun fight to watch, because you want to talk about totally different physiques and you would guess styles. I mean, would Durant just put his arm out and hold Westbrook's head like a little child and he'd never be able to get to him? Or would he be not strong enough to hold him back?
Or quick enough. Westbrook with it has his athleticism, which it's still there. It's a little out of control nowadays, but you know, that'd be fun. That'd be a good one.
It'd be super exciting. I know that. That's a good one. That's a celebrity or an athlete boxing match that you'd like to see. Durant versus Westbrook for the all-time supremacy of Mr. Thunder. All right, we got the college football.
Nick Carlson's going.
Yeah, wait a minute, it's me.
Wait a minute.
Okay, sorry, Nick. All right, so Adam Rittenberg, he does this every single year, and he does basically a college football's top 25, but it's future power rankings, which covers the next three seasons, so this season and the two after, and obviously he's taken into account, youth of players on certain teams. what recruiting classes are starting to look like, especially with the group that's 2023 that'll play, you know, their senior years this year, what's coming in next year, you know, and that kind of thing. And he compiles all that and tries to figure out, okay, puts offense, defense, quarterbacks, and that kind of thing, and comes up and it spits out a ranking of what he believes to be the best teams over the next 3 years in college football.
Which I imagine is very hard to do nowadays. You can got your recruiting classes and all that, then the transfer portal can change everything.
It's one of those exercises that you go through, and you shouldn't be held to any sort of standard, whether or not you're right or wrong, because everything is so much in flux.
Right.
I mean, you can have an idea of who is this and who is that, but you're right.
What if Saban retires?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Jared, because he does have Alabama number one, but the very first sentence is, the only hesitation about keeping Alabama at number one from last year's future ratings is the future of Coach Nick Saban. Think about this. He's 70. Of course, he doesn't look like he's 70, but he is 70. And you know what that makes him?
Old.
The second oldest coach in the FBS.
Okay.
That's what's crazy. You don't think of...
Who's one?
That's what I was just sitting here thinking.
It's not Fry. Hayden Fry.
No, he hasn't been there forever.
No. I'm not Hayden Fry. I'm sorry. Help me, Iowa.
Kirk Ferentz.
Ferentz, thank you. Got my Iowa coaches turned around. Anyways, we could go all day looking for that one. Yeah, it makes you wonder how many years left Nick Saban has or wants to coach. He can quit at any time and go out on top, you know?
Sure he can.
And be satisfied.
But that's what's wild about it. Ferentz is 66.
66.
You don't think of Nick Saban, even though you know he's that old, you don't think of him as old because it feels like he has so much energy. But the truth of it is, he's 70. I mean, think about the 70-year-old people you know in your life. I can't – you know what I mean? It's hard to think about that in those terms, but partly because we've seen him for all these years. And you know, the maniacal way that he goes about the process and all that. I think that would be a huge concern whether or not he would be there for all three of these years in these rankings, which, in, like I said, that's the very first sentence he wrote. But when you start looking down at the roster, then you wonder, okay, even if it's not him, can somebody just come in and kind of take over the mantle and keep it at least going with the players that are there? And, you know, the answer to that, clearly, yes, just because of the recruiting that they've done. I mean, last year seemed like a total disappointment for them, and they finished second in the recruiting rankings. You know what I mean? People were mad down there about, oh, we're not recruiting as well as A&M. Well, you're still second in the country. And, oh, by the way, your coach has a track record of developing recruiting classes like that into national champions. So, it's hard to put anybody else number one in my mind, but that Saban question is one that's going to be answered probably sooner than later as far as when he's done.
I found the oldest coach.
Who is it?
Frank Solich, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
76, maybe 77. This article is from a year ago. He's still there, right? I didn't hear him retiring or anything.
No, Tressel did. Tressel stepped aside, but I don't think Solich has. So there you go. Frank Solich. Wait a minute. That's not FB. Is that FBS?
Ohio, I think it is.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Okay. I never can tell.
Mac Brown, I thought, was up there. He will.
How old's he?
He has turned 70. He turned 70 in August.
Wait. Last August? So he's going to be 71?
She's about to be 71.
That's going to be your answer.
Currently the head coach at Alabama, Nick Saban, turned 70. So he Saban's 70. He'll turn 71 in October.
It's Mac Brown.
Solich
is an FBS.
Is Ohio not
like
FBS?
Power 5.
Oh, they're going with Power 5?
Yeah, I think that's what FBS means.
Okay.
Power 5. Yeah, Mac Brown turned 71 in August. And then Saban will turn 71 in October. How wild is it? Did you see Saban's birthday? Halloween.
Is it October 31st?
Yes. Doesn't that kind of make sense?
Well, my youngest was almost a Halloween baby.
So you have that.
But that does make sense with him.
He's
like the only coach I can scare these college kids.
If it's not Saban, who would be number two? Or number one. If it's not Alabama, who would you put? Who would you feel comfortable replacing them for the next 3 years?
That'd be Georgia. I feel like that. Am I right?
Georgia's number two.
You don't think they should? Oh, what are you asking me? Who would replace Saban?
No, who would replace Alabama at number one if it's not them? You pick Georgia.
I think Georgia. I think the recruiting's been there consistently for the past, ever since Smart has landed on campus. It's finally culminated with a national title, and I don't think that's slowing down. So, yeah, I think that if Alabama takes a step back because Saban retires or whatever reason, I think Georgia's there to take the place.
I would go with Ohio State.
Ohio, okay.
Just, one, they're recruiting at a level, a similar level, and two, the Big Ten is easier than the SEC.
Agreed. Totally agree.
Now, the one problem, though, with choosing them is Ohio State has got to get back to playing better defense. Under Ryan Day, they're fairly similar to what we saw here.
Yeah.
With Lincoln Riley at OU. It felt like every year the offense got better and the defense got worse. That's kind of what's happening. And Ohio State's offense is off the charts.
Yes.
With those receivers. I mean, they lost, what, three guys? Well, Jameson Williams ended up at Alabama. But to start out with three guys that were, what, top 12 picks or 15 picks in the NFL draft just at that one position, and you feel like they're still just as loaded as they were with Smith and Jigba, Marvin Harrison. The list goes on and on and on, and when you see the recruiting that's going on right now, it's going to continue to go on and on and on with receivers at Ohio State. Obviously, C.J. Stroud's there for this year, maybe not after that. But, man, it just feels like they're – I think those three actually – when you talk about how they've recruited, but then also the actual results on the field, it feels like those three are kind of in their own little category and everybody else is trying to get up into their tier, if that makes sense. With Clemson falling down a little bit last year, not even sure if Uiagalelei is really the guy, you know, with the way he kind of struggled, and then also the defections off of that coaching staff at Clemson. So we're going to see how much was Dabo and how much was it the guys around him. And so that's where I wouldn't put them in that top three, because that top three, they really don't have any question marks, right? I mean, as far as the program and being on solid footing, because they keep recruiting, they keep their coach. You know, they're just not a lot of change, I guess, with those three, and the change that is there, they replace it and they move right along pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, but even if that's like at Ohio State, it feels like if there was change, especially at head coach, we've seen it when Will Tressel and it's moved on and on and on. They're still winning at a high level. So and that's why I think Oklahoma's, I won't say okay, but there shouldn't be a lot of worry, because I think that Oklahoma will continue to win at a high level. It might take a lump here or there with Venables being his first head coaching job, and I know we'll get to Oklahoma coming up, but that's why I like Ohio State to continue to do what they do with Ryan Day. And let's say he does bolt for the NFL or wherever, I don't think I'd ever knock him out of the top five of this list. You see what I'm saying? There's just something about a blue blood that just continues to win.
Yeah, it's
then it kind of goes back to Alabama. You know, say Nick Saban retires and they go and get you could plug any high name in there and not be surprised by it, and they would continue to win.
It's going to be interesting, though, because you know, as good as Tressel and as good as Urban were at Ohio State, they ain't Saban. And the shadow that he's going to, not being there, will cast a wide, wide shadow trying to replace that guy. I mean, you kind of want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaced the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That next guy. Because here's
the
problem.
Well, they're still doing that at Nebraska.
Well, we've seen it. That's what I say. We've seen it at two places right around here, the two big Reds. Nebraska had Solich, who got them to a national title game, just happened to run into one of the most talented teams of all time in Miami in 2001. But he kept it to a fairly high standard. And then after Barry was forced out, I mean, Gary Gibbs, by the time it got to the last year of John Blake, in that four-year walk through the forest, OU fans would have killed for a 9-3 with Gary Gibbs.
Yeah.
And so sometimes even if you do a solid job following the guy, it still is not good enough because you're not the guy. And you're not, you know, that's just such a hard thing to do. To be able to keep the unrealistic expectations being met, which that's exactly what Alabama has. Unrealistic. I mean, their expectation is to win the national championship every year, and if we don't, it's not a good season. That's unrealistic. But he's been able to fulfill those expectations way more than one would think. So those are the top three in order. It's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, according to Adam Rittenberg. The next group, you got A&M 4, Clemson 5, Notre Dame 6, Oklahoma 7, Michigan 8, USC is 9, and LSU is 10. Let's just keep it there with those six. Who do you think has the best chance to challenge and maybe even jump up into that top group of three by the time the next three seasons is over?
Well, conventional wisdom wants to say A&M for many reasons, because they're in the SEC. Jimbo Fisher's a good coach, despite his off-field antics sometimes, and you know, them allegedly buying recruits. But I don't think, despite all the coaching staff leaving Clemson, but Dabo's still there, and he's proven to be a very, very good coach. I don't think they're going anywhere, and I think they will consistently still win because they are in the ACC, which is kind of like an Ohio State reason, what you gave me for winning and putting them where they're at. I could see them, if they can consistently win in a less than stellar conference, and the and showed, hey, it wasn't Brent Venables' defense. You know, it's these guys, and they got to, you know, they can replace on the coaching staff. I can see them jumping A&M and even possibly creeping in top three. So I'll say Clemson.
Yeah, the ACC thing is definitely a help for them. And if Uwe Ongalele can be what he looked like he was going to be in that one Notre Dame game when Lawrence had COVID and he threw for 500 yards or whatever, even though in a loss. No, that's why everybody.
I peg him as having a bounce back season.
Man,
by the way,
wasn't that just crazy?
Yeah,
that was one of those you really didn't see coming, and you wonder if the schedule had been a little bit different, and they didn't start out with that ridiculous Georgia defense very first, if maybe things are a little bit different for him. I mean, he got better as the season went along, but he was never to the level that anybody thought. Hell, I picked him to win the Heisman. Because of off of that one game against Notre Dame, you know, how stupid was that? But if it's not him, they've also got true freshman Cade Klubnik that comes in as the top-ranked dual-threat quarterback of the recruiting class that just signed. It's going to be on campus this fall. So, you know, do you have a situation where you might see even what happened at OU this last year? If Uwe Ongalele struggles again out of the gate, will Dabo or Brandon Streeter the new offense coordinator maybe look to make a change? You would think that defense wouldn't be falling off yet because of what's stockpiled in their recruiting. So I would almost tend to agree with you because of the ACC. But how much over the next 3 years does the ACC change with the hire that Miami made and the NIL possibilities down there with the U. Maybe all of a sudden with that and Florida State, can they get back on track to where all of a sudden now Clemson isn't just the clear front runner year after year after year after year after year in that conference? A&M's recruiting last year was sick. It was just flat sickening with what they were able, the haul they were able to make. And Rittenberg compares it. He wrote about Georgia last year in these rankings going into the season last year. If the Bulldogs' four-decade national title drought doesn't end in the next 3 years, their fans should be massively disappointed. And that's just squarely because of the recruiting classes they have been pulling in year after year after year. He says the same thing applies for Texas A&M with their stretch dating back to 1939. That's how good on paper that recruiting class was last year, and they kind of continue to roll. So I think A&M's the safest choice because of recruiting to be able to get in that list because of the guys that they're pulling in. Where would you slot Oklahoma?
I think they're exactly where they need to be.
I think they're too high.
Okay.
Just because there's two teams below them lurking that have the massive, massive NIL advantage. And that's Miami, and everybody's going to hate me, but that's USC.
Well, I said away before even
if you're projecting,
Riley left.
That's right.
You know, it's going to turn into this large market, small market environment. Like in the pros.
And the uncertainty of the SEC move and how Oklahoma is prepared to go into that league and how they're prepared to look. And you know, the makeup of the team. Does Brent Venables have enough time to make that transformation? It could be next season. It could be three, you know, it could be after these rankings have gone away for the next 3 years. It's the uncertainty of that is what I think makes it hard to figure exactly where Oklahoma needs to be, because you don't know where they're going to be playing. Baylor and OSU are down at 16 and 17. I think that's interesting that both of those teams in the Big 12, you know who's not on this list?
Iowa State?
Texas.
Oh, my, yeah. They're not in this list?
They're not in this list.
Well,
unless
I
skipped over.
When was this list made? Because they might have to redo it after the Manning recruiting commitment. And, again, like I said on Friday, I think more are coming. I think we've already seen that.
Yeah, they had a great weekend.
Yeah, so.
June 21st. So a week ago.
Okay, so he might.
It hadn't happened yet.
He might have to make a 2.0 list here.
Yeah, it hadn't happened yet. So that's why I'm so surprised not to see them, because of getting Arch. But yeah, if he already posted this article before that commitment was made, then maybe you see it. But as far as Baylor and OSU, man, OSU specifically, their opportunity before them is just great, being that they have a couple of years with Texas not being very good for the last decade, Oklahoma in a state of change that we haven't seen at OU in 20 years, with a new president and football coach, when those three with Boren and Castiglione and Stoops had been there for so long together. I think OSU has a real chance to solidify themselves with Texas and OU still in the league as the big dog when those guys leave, as the undisputed king of the new Big 12 when OU and Texas leave. And that opportunity is right there in front of them. Mm-hmm. And, we're going to start seeing some conference stuff come out with media days here pretty quick. And I fully suspect to see Oklahoma State no worse than second in the preseason poll, and I would not be shocked, and probably with what they've got coming back, I know there's some defensive issues or questions, but they look as good as anybody to be the favorite to win this league.
Have you seen, well, I'm poking around here too, it came out this morning, ESPN's Big 12 preview.
Yeah, I was going to talk about this before I saw this.
Okay. It's very interesting because you mentioned Oklahoma State. They're not where I think they should be, at least on this list of preseason rankings.
Whoa, third.
Third. I think it is the state teams, OU and OSU, and I wouldn't argue with you if you put one over the other at 1 and 2. And I think Texas is a solid 3. But, I mean, we got all summer to break that down.
Yeah, let's talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
This is interesting, some numbers.
I mean, the all-conference players you put on here are interesting. One name stood out to me, and it wasn't the one I think it is. Anyways, it's an interesting read.
I'm going to put this on the list for tomorrow. When we come back, we will wrap up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday right here on the Skinny on Sports.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Care you can trust. Give him a call, 580-225-2121. We talked about all the medical side of it. Guess what? We've also got awesome gifts, greeting cards as well down there at Paul Jones Drug. So give them a visit. Tell them we sent you. Say hi for us. All right, I'm looking at this Big 12 list. Well, let's start. We can get to the NFL draft stuff later. I'm just kind of looking through this, kind of like the first idea of what we're seeing here. And it looks like they're using the S&P ranking to determine the Big 12 rankings. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're putting whatever the S&P spits out, or the SP Plus spits out, that's how they've ranked the teams. And so that's got Oklahoma first, Texas second. And you know what's crazy about to me about this, just looking at those numbers? I think that gap that the SP Plus rankings are spitting out between Oklahoma and second is way too wide. They've got Oklahoma as the number 5 team in the country, and the next best Big 12 team is Texas at 31. I don't think the gap between anybody at the top is nearly that wide going into the season.
Yeah, they use a lot of data with this, a lot of analytics to get that number. This isn't like an opinion number, like I think Oklahoma's the 5th best team. It's just that S&P Plus data that they use. But I agree. I think the gap is a lot closer than what this tells us. So it goes OU, Texas, OSU, Kansas State, Baylor. I mean, see, Baylor I think is too low. If we're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in my mind.
Yeah. TCU, Tech, Iowa State. Wow. West Virginia, then Kansas. Iowa State.
Iowa State's not going to be liked by the computers because they lost so much.
They lost so much.
That makes sense to me.
But they still got a heck of a coach. So, this will be – when you start seeing the preseason magazines put together, it's going to look totally different than what this S&P ranking is.
Yeah, when you look at it, it says, because of recent history and recruiting – or because both of those things are parts of the SP Plus projections, OU will get the benefit of the doubt and will start out ahead of the pack according to the SP Plus, which makes total sense because Oklahoma had won the Big 12 6 years in a row before last year.
Right.
And then, of course, it goes on Baylor and Oklahoma State, loads of key contributors to replace. Texas, a boost from recruiting experience. Kansas State. See, that's the team that for me, if the question is, okay, who could be, because I think everybody had a sense that Oklahoma State had a chance to be pretty darn good last year. With Sanders coming back, the defense had started to make strides. I don't know that anybody realized it was going to be that good, but I think the signs were there.
Yeah, all the pieces
All the pieces were there. Just better always, put them together.
Yeah, there's always the question of, well, when are the turnovers going to happen from Sanders? And, you know, stuff like that. Or you know, yes, the defense looks solid, but every once in a while they would have a breakdown in a game.
But if you had to pick which participant in the Big 12 title game was more likely to get there, it was clearly Oklahoma State over Baylor to start the season last year, right?
Right.
And so that's where Kansas State, to me, is going to feel like, who, if the question is, okay, who can be Baylor of last year? I think it's K-State. I think a lot of it's going to hinge on Adrian Martinez, the transfer from Nebraska. If he's an upgrade. Well, and the problem for them was, you know, they were two separate teams, Kansas State, over the last few years. They were the team when Skylar Thompson was healthy, and they were a totally different team when he wasn't.
Yep.
And so it's hard to say, okay, can Martinez be a big upgrade over Thompson? Well, just being there for all the games would be a big upgrade over Thompson. Now the question is, can he perform like Thompson did when he was completely healthy versus, you know, when he wasn't there, when he was a little bit banged up? But K-State with Klieman and the way that coaching staff, I mean, they can clearly coach, right? I mean, because they're always going to have to be the team that does more with less just because it's really hard to recruit to Manhattan, Kansas. But they've done a heck of a job in his couple of years there to start. So for me, boy, that team looks like one of those, okay, if it's not Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, who is it? To me, Kansas State is right there with Baylor in that conversation.
I believe I said something similar to this a few weeks ago because of what you said about Martinez. I was impressed with Martinez and Norman. I know that was going up against an OU defense that was suspect all season long. But he took care of the football. And I saw good things based on that. I know it's a small sample size. But if I think he is going to – I'll say it. I think he's going to be playing for a better coach. So, that's why, yeah, I can see Kansas State being a dark horse.
Yeah, just looking through the comments about them. They only allowed 18 points per game over the last seven last year. They made a havoc play, which is a tackle for loss, a forced fumble, or a pass defense every 23 snaps. That was third best in the Power 5. So, that you know, the defense aggressive, making things happen. But, it's funny because it feels like a lot of these teams in the Big 12 have the same question mark, and that is, how good are they going to be at quarterback? Which is different than the question for a lot of years in the Big 12. I mean, even Oklahoma State, with clearly the most polished and seasoned and best guy coming back, he still has tons of question marks for the inconsistencies that we've seen with the turnovers from game to game. All you got to do is look at the last two last year. He played the worst game possible against Baylor, but then he looked like a Heisman Trophy candidate running up and down the field against Notre Dame. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting year in the Big 12. One of the most, going into it at least, in my mind, one of the most wide open we've had in quite some time. Because the question going into the season isn't, okay, who's going to play Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game? It's actually, okay, who's going to make it to the Big 12 title game?
Who's going to be in the Big 12 title game?
Yeah, we can keep this going tomorrow, too, as we kind of glance down through this article. Though, you know who I know's not going to?
Kansas.
Kansas's bowl odds are 1%.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not very high. All right. Thank you to Rodney Skinner, Paul Jones Drug. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.